We're holding Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, the seventh line. Going through the continuation of things that the Mishnah had said that you can say B'chol Loshen. So the first, our next one was Tfila, was Shemina Esrei. And the Gemara says, for that, you don't need a Pasuk, unlike the other ones for Shema and for Parashas Sota and so forth, where we need Pesukim for it. The fact that you can daven in any language is obviously Rachmihi. Davening is all about asking for Hashem's Rachmanus. So obviously, therefore, so whatever language a person wants to daven in, he could. You don't need a Pasuk to tell us that. After all, especially Tefillah is supposed to be Avodah Shebelev. If you don't understand what you're saying, then it's not Avodah Shebelev anyway. So the Gemara asks, so Tefillah B'chol Loshen, is that really the case, that you can daven Shemana Esrei in any language? Didn't Rav Yehuda say that a person should never ask for his needs in the Aramaic language? Rav Yehuda says that if a person asks for his needs in the Aramaic language, then the Malachi Asharis won't get involved with it to help him. Now, like this, the person's tefillos need help to be brought up Lamaila. The Malachim do that. So the Malachim don't bother with Tfilas in Aramaic, Lepisha in Malachi Asharis, Makirin Baloshin Arami, because the Malachi Asharis do not recognize the Aramaic language. Now, there's a lot of different explanations in this. Does this mean that they don't understand it? Somebody showing him understand. Rashi understands that it means that they don't. Rashi says that that it means they don't understand it. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who say that the Tosfos elsewhere says that Malachim even understand what people are thinking. Although that itself, there are Achronim who discuss where exactly is Tosfos getting that from. You don't seem to have a clear source for the idea that Malachim understand what we're thinking. But whatever the case, Tosfos is saying that they do. So Tosfos says, of course, that they understand the Aramaic language. They don't like it. They don't appreciate it because within that itself, you have several different explanations of Rishonim. Is it that we mean Aramaic or any other foreign language? They only want to pay attention to Tfilas and Lashon Kodesh, or the Rosh, for example, brings the idea that Davka Aramaic they have something against because Aramaic is like a corrupted version of Lashon Kodesh. So there's a lot of different explanations, and this is Negeya Lahalacha as far as the question. For example, the Gemara is going to answer that there's a difference between the Yochid and the Tzibur. So one outgrowth of that is that we have certain tefillos that are said in Aramaic, which we don't say biyachid. You have, for example, when you're saying slichas before Rosh Hashanah, at the end you have a couple of paragraphs that are in there. You have a couple of paragraphs, machay umasay, that are in Aramaic, and morad nivishmaya. So the minhag is you don't say them when you're davening. If you're saying slichas by yourself, you don't say them based on what we're saying over here, that the malachim don't understand, or as the case may be, don't understand or don't want to pay attention to because they don't like the language, the Aramaic language. And again, does that mean only Aramaic, or does it mean any other foreign language? Anyway, the question is, so what are you telling me you can daven in any language? Within that by itself, by the way, you have this that was a person needs Malachim in order to help him, in order to help bring up his tefillos. There is also a good deal of discussion among the poskim about whether you're allowed to address your request to the Malachim, or you're allowed to ask the Malachim to help you out with that. You have various tefillos that we say here and there that where we do. We have, for example, another one of the things at the end of Slichos over there is Machnisei Rachmi, Machnisei Rachameinu. You have one of the Slichos that we say on one of the days begins Malachei Rachmi Meshorsei Elyon. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, we have one that begins Shloshes Yomidos Hamoros Machnino, where we seem to be appealing to the Shloshes Yomidos themselves. And there's a lot of things like that. So there's a good deal of discussion about whether such things are allowed. The upshot is you have minhagim that you have kehillas where they either don't say those requests at all, or they change the wording to for example, in Shloish Asumidus, most Slichas books have it more that the requests in there are addressed to Hashem or to oneself to go before Hashem rather than to Malachim. On the other hand, there is strong support among various poskim for saying the idea that you can ask them, recognizing, of course, they're not independent. They don't have any independent powers of their own, Chas v'Shalom, but you're asking them to be essentially gute betters for you, to help you, to help bring your tefillos before Hashem. Anyway, so we're saying over here in the Gemara that the Malachim don't understand or don't like the Aramaic language. So what are you telling me that you can daven in any language? The answer is like Kasha Hobby Yochid Hobitzibur. There's a difference between davening v'yochid or b'tzibur. When a person is davening v'yochid, he needs the Malachim to help bring up his tefillas to Hashem. So therefore he shouldn't be davening in Aramaic because then the Malachim are not going to help him out. But if he's davening b'tzibur, the tzibur's tefillah is never rejected by Hashem. So therefore, you don't need as much that Malachim should come and help with bringing it up to Hashem. Therefore, they can be davening. Therefore, they can be davening in any other language. There are some Rishonim who learn actually that it doesn't only mean davening the Yachid versus the Tzibur. They draw the distinction. In other words, are you davening? The difference is not so much whether you're davening the Yachid or the Tzibur, but whether you're saying the same tefillas that the Tzibur is saying, for example, standard Shemoneh Esrei versus when you're making your own requests. So then according to that, the vote would be when you're making your own requests to Hashem, whether it's in Shemoneh Esrei, whether it's outside of Shemoneh Esrei, for something to happen or something to not happen, then you're saying you should be using Lashon Kodesh because the Malachim don't understand Lashon Arami. But if you're davening the same Shemoneh Esrei as the Tzibur does, then you can be using Aramaic or if you want to. So that's one way. And then the other understanding is exactly what it sounds like, the difference whether you're davening in Shul with the Tzibur or whether you're davening the Yechidus.
Isn't there a clear fact that we don't need the Malachim to bring our prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Jews
don't. What we're saying, that a person does require, a person does need the Malachim to help him. Rashi says flat out, Sarach Sheyisayu, Malachi Asharis. The Yochin needs the Malachi Asharis to help and bring the tefillah before Hashem. Only the Tzibur doesn't need it. Yochid also obviously depends on the level of a Yochid, and depends, for example, the Gemara elsewhere says that the gates of tears are never closed, so if a person is davening with tears, and he's davening sincerely, then yeah, maybe he doesn't need the Malachim to help to bring up his tefillah seder, but we're talking about the regular, run-of-the-mill davening. So yes, a person does need Malachim to help.
So if that's the case, how come Chana, when she davened, she was heard directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
She was
a Yachid?
She was crying.
So
she
what?
Crying.
I mean, if you're saying
all,
that we need Malachim...
Crying, and I just said, one second. First of all, she was crying, and it's a shouted Moris Loni Nabu. And second of all, she was also an exceptional tzaddikus. And besides, actually, where do you see that Malachim didn't help and bring her tefillah in front of Hashem?
I never said Malachim didn't help. I questioned the fact that we need Malachim to have access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Chas v'shalom. A Yid has a direct connection, has a direct line to Hashem. But a person's tefillahs need a certain assistance in order to, you know, think of it in terms of what it talks about in Chassidus, that a person needs, for example, that a person needs Av of a Yira, like we talked about previously, for his mitzvahs to fly up to Hashem. Does the average person always do his mitzvahs and do his davening with that state of Av or Yira? Not necessarily. So you need some assistance from the Malachim. The Pashtus, these would be, for example, Malachim that were accomplished by a person's other mitzvahs that now help. They're his Sanegar. They help defend him before Hashem. So therefore, they bring his tefillah. They bring his tefillah before Hashem and find the deep down Kavanah in it, let's say. But yeah, that's what we are saying, that a person requires Malachim to help bring his tefillah to Hashem, and therefore when he's davening the Yochid, then he shouldn't be davening in Aramaic because the Malachim then won't pay attention to it. With all that said, Achronim say we don't mean that the Tzibur should regularly be davening in a different language. The fact is, the Tzibur is supposed to be davening in Lashon Kodesh, especially, of course, you know, once in the last couple hundred years, once Reform came along and whatever, and they started altering things and making it a standard thing to daven in English or German or what have you, then, of course, you know, it's not really so correct for the Tzibur to daven in any other language except Lashon Kodesh. So we mean Bakrai. We mean, for example, that, you know, once in a while they could be davening in a different language. But for Derech Klal, of course, the Tzibur should be davening in Lashon Kodesh. Okay.
So are you saying, one second, the majority of the Jewish people, at least half, doesn't daven in Lashon Kodesh? And So you're saying that Hashem doesn't hear practically the majority of the Jewish people because they don't daven in Russian Kodesh?
One second. Where are you getting that from? First of all, we're saying when they daven b'tzibur, when a tzibur davens,
where am I getting that?
They don't need malachim to help them. Hashem listens to their tefillah no matter what level they're on, even if they're all rishoy. We're talking about when a person is davening yichidus, the Gemara is saying, that he should be davening in Lashon Kodesh in order for the Malachim to help him out and bring his tefillah to Hashem. Again, we were just explaining, you have many different opinions of Rishonim, what all this means. Does it mean that Davka, there's a bigger problem davening in Aramaic than there is in any other foreign language? According to that, maybe if a person davens in English or Russian or what have you, there would be no problem with it, and the Malachim will pay attention to that. It's only Aramaic they have something against because they see it as a debased form of Lashon Kodesh. That's one way of understanding. Or do we mean that they don't listen to any foreign language except for, they only listen to Lashon Kodesh? And do we mean, for example, are we talking about the standard tefillahs that you find in the Siddur, or are we talking only about tefillahs, only about ad hoc tefillahs that a person says for a particular need of his or whatever? So there's a lot of different, but yes, there is the general idea that a yochid needs the malachim to help his tefillahs come before Hashem, and the tzibur does not. So to answer your question, most Jews daven in Lashon Kodesh, but a substantial number of Jews daven the tzibur, and then Hashem hears their tefillahs. And again, according to some Rishonim, what we're saying is, even when a yid is davening the yichidus, when he's davening the standard tefillahs, that may also be considered like the tefillah of the tzibur, because he is saying the same words that the tzibur usually says.
When you say the tzibur, you mean the entire Jewish people?
We mean a minion.
Let's say in a reform community,
community is a different question. I mean, they're not davening according to halacha. On the other hand, you may well have individual people there who feel that they're standing before Hashem and just their tzimikas shenishvu and don't know any better. What happens with their tefillahs? That rachmana liba boy, Hashem looks for what's going on in the heart. So then Hashem will handle their tefillahs appropriately, I'm sure. Whether the malachim actually need to be involved, I don't know. Again, that'll be subject to the machlokas of whether the malachim deal with other languages outside Lashon Kodesh. I don't know. Ultimately, this is all, ultimately we have to know what we have to know, what the Gemara is saying in terms of practicalities of what we have to do, which is that when a yochid is davening, he should be davening in Lashon Kodesh, and that the tzibur has more leeway. Again, like the Achronim say, not as a regular thing, just as a one-time thing, or as an occasional thing, or whatever, but what happens in any individual case, we'd have to ask the malachim themselves, I guess. But let's go on. We have ground to cover over here. So let's talk about this.
So on the opposite side of the scale, you're saying that if a yachid davens in Lashon Kodesh, he's practically guaranteed of having his tour presented.
The malachim will help him out, but they're not practically guaranteed. The malachim will help him out, but you still have to have, his tefillah still has to have a certain degree of kavana in it. A tefillah without kavana,
for example,
is not even considered a tefillah at all. So no, he's not practically guaranteed nothing, but the malachim are willing to help him out when he's davening in Lashon Kodesh. All right, let's go on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's go on. So the Gemara asks, "V'ein malachei hasharas makirin b'loshen arami." So you're telling me, fakir, the malachei hasharas don't understand or don't pay attention to Aramaic? V'hatanya, we learn in a brisa, Yochanan Kohen Gadol shama baskom v'es kodesh hakadoshim. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the pastor, is the famous one who was Kohen Gadol for 80 years and became a tzaddiki, but whether it was him or a different one anyway, he one time heard a baskol coming out from the kodesh hakadoshim. Shu Omer, this baskol was announcing, Notzchu talaya, the young men have been victorious. The Azalu Agocha Krovel Antuchia, that they went to Antuchia, which is the city of Antioch, in those days it was the capital of Syria, nowadays in southern Turkey. They went over there to fight a war, and they have been victorious. So Rashi explains, in other words, this is the point when the Hashmonaim are ruling over Eretz Yisrael. At one point they went to fight with the Greeks before Yom Kippur. The actual battle took place, it actually says, on Yom Kippur. So now, when Yochanan was doing the Avodah, that Yom Kippur, he heard a baskel from the Kodesh HaKadoshim that the young men, the Hashmonaim, who had gone to this war, were victorious. And these words, Nitzchu Talaya, etc., are in Aramaic. and b'shuv ma'ase b'shimon atzadik. Then there's another story involving Shimon atzadik. Sheshama baskel of his kodesh hakadoshim. He heard a baskel coming from the kodesh hakadoshim. At this point, the Gemara is assuming, of course, that the baskel is mediated through a malach, and so we see that the malachim speak Aramaic. So he heard a baskel from the kodesh hakadoshim, shu oimer, that was saying b'telas avidsa, the avoda, the work. Or the plan, the Omar was bottle, the Omar Sanaal I saw Alechala, that the enemy has planned to bring against the Heichol. The enemy, Rashi explains the word Avidta actually means the army. So they were planning to bring an army to attack Yerushalayim and to attack the Beis Mikdash. So their plans have been bottled, have been frustrated. The Nera Gaskalgas, and Gaskalgas, which Rashi says was the name of one of the Greek kings, has been killed, or bottled Xerosev, and his Xeros were bottled. And this took place, this took place. Again, he heard it from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the implication would be that they heard this on Yom Kippur. So afterwards, after Yom Kippur, they wrote down the exact moment when he heard this sound, and v'kivnu, and sure enough, it turned out that at the same moment he heard that baskel is exactly when Gaskalgas had been killed, uvaloshen arami hoya oimer, and this baskel was speaking in Aramaic. There is, by the way, so Rashi is saying over here that this Gaskalgas was a Greek king, and the implication seems to be that all this took place on Yom Kippur, just like the previous one with Yochanan and Kohen Gadol. There is an interesting explanation that actually this Gaskalgas is not exactly a Greek king, but rather a Roman one. He's known in history as Caligula. About 30 years before Churban Bayis Sheni, this Caligula decided he wants everybody to worship him as a god, and as you find in history books of that time, you find Josephus writes about it. There was a Yid, one of the leaders of the Jewish community in Alexandria named Philo, who went to intervene with Caligula about this. Bekitzer, anyway, Caligula wanted statues of him put up and for him to be worshipped everywhere, including in the Beis Mikdash, and it became a whole huge thing. There were Jews who were going on the Siddus Nefesh to prevent it from happening. Anyway, the idea would be then Shimon HaTzadik over here would not be the regular Shimon HaTzadik from throughout Shas, who was at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash. This would be a later Kohen Gadol of that same name. And Gaskalgas is short, according to that, would be short for Gaius Caligulus, which is the guy's full name, that he was killed, which in fact history books tell us that he was assassinated by his guards or something, and that's it, his Xeda was bottled. So according to that, it wouldn't have been Yom Kippur. History books tell us that he was killed sometime in January. Whatever the case, the point is, Megillas Tainis tells much the same story, including this phrase over here that Shimon HaTzadik heard, and it says that the date was Chof Beis Shvat, and they made that one of the Yom Tovim in Megillas Tainis, so that would fit well with a date in January. So according to that, it would mean it wasn't on Yom Kippur, it was some other time during the year. But they heard the sound coming from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Anyway, the point is, Uvaloshen Arami HaYoimer, in both of those cases, with Yochanan and Kohen Gadol, and with Shimon HaTzadik, the Baskel was speaking in Aramaic. Now, if we assume that the Baskel is the voice of a Malach telling us something, telling us a message from Hashem, then we see the Malachim do speak Aramaic. So the Mar says, Iboi seim a Baskel shiny. You could say that a Baskel is different. After all, a Baskel is there to give us information, to give us news. So therefore, it'll be in whatever language. People speak. So if that means that they have to use Aramaic, the Malachim may not like it, but they'll use it anyway. A related idea is that in this case, it wasn't a Malach, rather it was a Baskel that was not a Malach. So that's one answer. The Borisem of Gavriel, however. Another answer, you could say that it wasn't just any Malach, it was Malach Gavriel. The Omamar, we learn later on in the Perek, when we talk about the whole story of Yosef with Potiphar's wife, and then afterwards when he was elevated to be prime minister of Egypt, where the Gemara says, where they have Bo Gavriel, the Limde Shivim Loshen, that Gavriel came and taught Yosef the 70 languages overnight. So therefore, Gavriel, yes, understands and deals with all the languages, but not the other Malachim, who are the ones who would have to be bringing the person's tefillahs to Hashem. So therefore, we could still answer that the Malachim, so according to the first answer, none of the Malachim care for the Aramaic language. According to the second answer, Gavriel does, but the other Malachim do not, and therefore these stories of a Baskel and Aramaic don't contradict that. Okay. The Mishnah continued. Birkas Hamazon, another thing that you can say in any language you want is benching. And the reason is, because the Pasuk says that, now Rashi said, so, because the Pasuk says you should eat and you'll be satisfied, and you'll bench Hashem, implying b'chalosh and shatim mevarech, whatever language you want to bless Hashem in. Rashi had in front of him a girsa, Minolon, where the Gemara asks, where do we know from? Rashi says, what do you need that? What do you mean, where do we know from? Why would we think that benching has to be in Lashon Kodesh, that we need to be told otherwise? Tosfos, on the other hand, keeps that girsa, because otherwise we would have thought it has to be similar to the brachos on how grisim and how evil, what we said before. You had the brach and we said in the Mishnah, we're going to learn soon in the Gemara in more detail, that those were said in Lashon Kodesh, so you would think maybe we'd learn in Zeta Shava that maybe benching has to be in Lashon Kodesh as well, and therefore notes that it says a bit after implies in whatever language you want it. Shavua Se'edus, another one we said was Shavua Se'edus, where a person beswears people to go say Edus for him in Beis Din, and they deny it and say, we don't know that Edus. If later on they were lying, and later on they're ready to do Tshuva, then the pasuk describes they bring a korban for it. Again, that shvur could have been in any lashon. Dichtiv benefesh kisechta, because the pasuk says if a person sins v'shama kol Allah and he hears the sound of an oath, meaning a shvur, which includes a curse, that again the person beswore them to come testify for him. So that implies v'shama means b'chol lashon shiyishe mas, whatever language they hear and understand it in, then it's valid. Again, Tosfos says that the reason why we need to say otherwise, we would have thought, the Gemara is going to point out soon, that by Matan Torah, it says the word koil, and Matan Torah was done in Lashon Kodesh, so you would think by the same token that maybe over here where it says Vashama koil Allah, you would think maybe it has to be in Lashon Kodesh, but no, we're saying the word Vashama teaches us then. Next, Shavuos HaPikodin. How do we know the same thing is true as far as Shavuos HaPikodin, which is, again, where Reuben says to Shimon, you owe me money, for example, because I left a Pikodin by you, or I lent money to you, or you found something of mine that's lost, etc., and Shimon denies it and swears falsely. Later on, when Shimon is ready to do Tshuva, then again, he has to pay Kerem B'chomish and he brings a Korban. So how do we know that can mean any language? Asya techta techta mishvor se'edus, because we make a gzera shava on the word techta from shvor se'edus. We just established that shvor se'edus can be in any language, therefore so can shvor se'edus. Okay. So that goes through all the things in the Mishnah that we said that can be said b'chol loshin. Next, ve'elu ne'monin b'loshin ha'kodesh. We said the following things have to be said davka in Lashon Kodesh. The first mikra bikurim, the psukim that you say in connection with bikurim, arami ovadavi, etc., and the chalitza v'chola, and the psukim that the yavam and the yavamam say, that the yavam and yavama say by chalitza, etc., add mikra bikurim ketzad. And then the Mishnah gives the whole list, and then it starts saying, how do we know that mikra bikurim has to be in Lashon Kodesh? So we said because we learned Zeta Shoga, because the pasuk says Va'anisa Va'amarta Lifnei, Va'anisa Va'amarta Lifnei Hashem Alekecha. You should speak up and you should say before Hashem. By the brachos of Klolus, it says the Levim should speak up and say to Bnei Yisrael. So therefore, we learn from that. Told the Jewish people. So ma'aniyah hamur lahalim b'loshin hakodesh. Just like the brachas of klolus of the Levim took place in Lashon Kodesh, aftan b'loshin hakodesh. The same way when it says va'nisa va'amarta by the recording also has to be in Lashon Kodesh. Well, the question is, the answer is, Levim gufayu minolan, where by the Levim themselves that we know it was in Lashon Kodesh. Of course, I mean, you could say Balabatish, everybody knew Lashon Kodesh. At that point, why shouldn't it be in Lashon Kodesh? But still, we need a source for that. Why don't we say, for example, after, especially because the Psukim mentioned actually that the Gerim were that the Gerim had to listen to it as well. Maybe the Gerim speak other languages. Maybe the Levim had to do it in different languages. How do we know? To Asya Koil Koil Mi Moshe. Because in that, in turn, we learn Xer Shava on the word Koil from Moshe. Ksiv Hocha Koil Rom. Here it says the Levim have to speak in a loud voice. Moshe spoke and Hashem answered him with a voice. One meaning is that Moshe's voice is strong enough to speak to the Jewish people. That Hashem helped him with that. That his voice should be powerful enough. to Mala Halam, the Lashon HaKodesh, just like my Matan Torah, it was in Lashon Kodesh, because the Torah was given in Lashon Kodesh. Afkan, the Lashon HaKodesh, the same way by the Levium, on how Grizim and how Evil it had to be in Lashon Kodesh. The truth is, I mean, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, we had it recently in Ein Yaakov, that Hashem's voice by Matan Torah divided into all 70 languages, but nevertheless, when he's speaking so that way, the Goyim would also be able to hear what's going on. Maharsho explained this way, they couldn't complain that we would have accepted the Torah if it was given in our language, but nevertheless, the primary speaking to the Jewish people was being done in Lashon Kodesh. Oh yeah, you have the famous expression "anoisi loshen mitzvi." Fine, but the expression, the word "anoisi" itself, comes from the Egyptian language, but it's naturalized into Lashon Kodesh. But yeah, so Matan Torah was done in Lashon Kodesh. So we learn Gzeira Shava from that the brachas of Klolos were also done in Lashon Kodesh. And Tosfos deals a little bit with how we know that we're learning Davka from there. Why don't we say, for example, that we learn from Shavuos HaPikadon, and then because again you have the word Aniya and Koil. So you have all these things. You have Onisa, Von Marta, and Koil. So therefore, that gives us more of a reason to make that Zeder Shava. And that's why, by the way, this that we learn a lot of these things from the Bracha Sequalus on how Grizim and how Evil is why, as we talked about yesterday, Mephoshim explained, that is why the Mishnah goes to the trouble of telling us all the details of that ceremony. I mean, you could say, Ma'ida Haba Haba, it happened a few thousand years ago. Why do we need to be told that in the Mishnah as halacha for all time? The reason is because Taka from there, we're learning from that, we're learning these halachas. And so once we mention it, then we want to go into the detail of how it was done. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Chalitza Ketza, before, how do we know that Chalitza has to be done in Lashon Kodesh? So we said, the Chachamim say again that we learn a Gzeira Shava, and Rabbi Yehuda said, because it says, that it says again that the Yavama speaks up, it says V'onsa V'omra, and so we met Gzeira Shava from V'onra Alavim, and then Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't need that Gzeira Shava because it says Kocha, and that means it has to be B'loshon Hazeh, exactly like that. Kocha means like this. So Rabbanon Hai Kocha Mai Abile. So what are the Chachamim doing with the word Kocha? The answer is Mibori Lahu Ladavashu Maisa Ma'akiv. They say we learn from that the things that are Maisa are Ma'akiv, meaning in other words, we have to remember that in the Chalitza process there are several different things done. There's the removal of the shoe from the Yavam's foot, there's the spitting on the ground, and there's saying the psukim. So now the Chachamim are saying that only the things that are Maisa are ma'akev. So if she doesn't actually remove the shoe, or Rashi says if she's not spitting, then those are ma'akev and the chalitza is possible. As opposed to if she doesn't say the psukim, then b'di'evit it's not ma'akev. We learned in Yevamos actually that it has to be that she and he are capable of saying the psukim. But then if they're capable, if they're able to speak normally, and they just don't say them, then you yotze b'di'evit. But if they're unable to say them, to say them in the first place, we said it is ma'akiv. But in any case, the taking off the shoe and the spitting is ma'akiv. Rashi mentions that the spitting is ma'akiv. Tosfos actually points out that in Yevamos you have two different opinions about that, and Halacha is actually like Rabbi Akiva that the spitting is not the act of either because it only has to be, or because not something that touches the actual Yavam himself. Only the removal of the shoe is the only thing according to Rabbi Akiva that's not active. Anyway, so the Chachamim are learning from the word Kocha that's how it is that you have to do what it says in the Pesukim. Rabbi Yehuda, so what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, Mikoi Kocha. He says, the Pasuk could have said the word Koi. She could say, V'onsa V'omra Koi Ye'osalish. And instead it says Kocha. So therefore, we can learn from that both, that it has to be, the Maisin have to be done, and that it has to be in Lashon Kodesh. Rabbanan, where's the Chachamim, would answer back, Koi Kocha Le'mashma Lehu. They don't hold that that's a way of doushening. They hold that it's normal for the Pasuk to use the word Kocha, and therefore we can't doushen anything. Therefore we can't doushen anything from it. The Rashba gives an explanation when Rabbi Huda is saying that we learn from Koi versus Kocha. He says, in other words, that Koi would just mean so, whereas Kocha means exactly like this. It's not just the fact that there's the extra Chof. The word Koi and Kocha actually have different shades of meaning, whereas the Chachamim would say they don't. They basically mean the same thing. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda hai v'onsa v'omra mai ovidlei. What is Rabbi Yehuda doing with the Gzeira Shava from v'onsa v'omra, which is where the Chachamim are learning that Chalitza has to be done in Lashon Kodesh? If Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I don't hold of that, I hold that we learn from Kocha, then what is he doing with the Gzeira Shava? The answer is Mibolim, Agmur Lelevim, the Lashon HaKodesh. Just the opposite. You need that to teach the concept that the Levim's Brachas HaKlolis were done in Lashon HaKodesh. In other words, that itself, which in turn is going to be a source for other halachas, that we say that other things have to be done in Lashon Kodesh, and we learn them by Xeira Shavuot from the Levim. Well, how do we know? The Levim themselves said in Lashon Kodesh, Rabbi Yehuda says we're learning from, in other words, according to Chachamim, we said, we're learning that the Levim said in Lashon Kodesh, we just said from Xeira Shavuot on the word koil, where it says that Moshe Dabba by the Kinyan and a koil versus the Levim, koil rum. So we learn from that, just like Hashem spoke to Moshe in Lashon Kodesh, the same way the Levim announced to the Jewish people in Lashon Kodesh. And then in turn, we learn from that to the various other halachas. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that's not where we start out from. We start out from Chalitza. Since it says Kocha, Rabbi Yehuda says it means it has to be exactly like that in Lashon Kodesh. Since it says by Chalitza, it says Va'onsa Va'omra, and by the Levim, it says Va'onu Va'omru. So that gives us a Xeira Shavuot to tell us that the Levim announced in Lashon Kodesh. And then we can use that to say, based on that Mikra Bikurim and all the other things listed in the Mishnah have to be in Lashon Kodesh. So the Gemara. What?
Because of the same Mishnah?
Because of the same Zeta Shavuot. Once we have by the Levim, it says Va'onu. Once it says by the Levim, Va'onu Va'omru. Then we learn that other things where it says Va'onu or Va'onsa also means that it has to be in Lashon Kodesh. So that's why we said in the Mishnah that Mikra Bikurim and Chalitza and so on and so forth. All of those have to be done. Parshas Egla Arufa and so forth have to be done in Lashon Kodesh. Ultimately, we're learning each one of them by Zeta Shavuot from the Levim. So the question is, then, in that case, why does Rabbi Yehuda have to learn it that way? V'leilach koil mimosha. Why, v'leilach koil mimosha? Why doesn't he learn the same Zeta Shava as the Chachamim did from the fact that it says koil rom by the Levim, and it says Moshe Yidabu by the Kimyan and Abakoil by Matan Torah? The answer is, aniya gomer koil le gomer. The answer is that Rabbi Yehuda had not learned both of those Zeta Shavas from his Rebbeim. We know that a person can't make up his own Zeta Shava. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda had learned the Zeta Shava from his Rebbeim of the word aniya, of Va'onsa versus Va'onu, that he learned, but he didn't learn that there's a Xeira Shava on the word koil between the Levim and Matan Torah, therefore he couldn't use that Xeira Shava. So therefore he needs a different source to say that the Levim did the Brachas HaKlolis in Lashon Kodesh. So he does that by learning from Chalitza, and then in turn he uses that from the Brachas HaKlolis, he's able to learn to Mikra Bikurim and Egla Arufa and the rest of them. So had he learned koil, had he learned the Xeira Shava, koil like the Chachamim, you're right, he wouldn't need the Xeira Shava from Va'onsa Va'omra for that, but now that he doesn't have that Xeira Shava, then he needs that, and therefore, so he says that the original source of all of this is the fact that it says Kocha by Chalitza. So that's how it is, in other words. So to recap, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the original source for Lashon Kodesh is by Chalitza, then we learn Xeira Shava from that to the Levim, from Va'onsa Va'omra to Va'onu Va'omru, and then from that we learn Xeira Shava to every place else where it says Aniya and Amira, for example by the Kohen Gadol, by the Meshuach Melchama, and by the Egla Arufa, and by Mikra Bikurim and whatever, that all of those have to be in Lashon Kodesh as well. That's how Rabbi Yehuda learns. The Chachamim, meanwhile, we said, and Rabbi Yehuda also knows that by Chalitza, the Maisim Mama Akiv, he says, we learn from the fact that it could have said Koi, and instead it says Kocha. So, meanwhile, the Chachamim go about it a whole different way. They say the fact that the Levim did it in Lashon Kodesh, we learn from Xeira Shava from Har Sinai, from Matan Torah. Then, in turn, from that, we learn Xeira Shava to all the other cases, including Chalitza. So they hold that Chalitza is also learned by that same Xeira Shava that's in Lashon Kodesh. They don't hold that the word Kocha means that. They hold the word Kocha means only that the Chalitza, the actual Maisim have to be done, taking off the shoe, and according to Rashi, also the spitting, and the fact that it's in Lashon Kodesh, they learn from the Xeira Shava. And then the same Xeira Shava goes for all the other things. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya Namihachi, we learn similarly in a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda, in the Kol Mokam Shenema Koi Kocha, whenever it says in the Torah either the word Koi or Kocha, or it says Aniya V'Amira, or it says the word Aniya, which means to speak up, V'Amira and to say, so all of those things, Ela Loshana Kodesh, all of those things, Eina Ela Loshana Kodesh, all of those mean exclusively Loshana Kodesh. For example, Koi, an example would be Koi Savaruchu. And we're going to learn later on in the parak that Birchas Kohanim has to be done dafka in Lashon Kodesh. We learned it in the Mishnah already. Kocha de Chalitza. By Chalitza, you have the word Kocha. And Aniya v'Amira de Levim. And by the Levim, you have where it says the word Aniya v'Amira. So, So in other words, so again, the same way, for example, as when it comes to duchening, when it comes to birkas chayim, later on in the parak, we're going to say the chachamim learn it from the same gzeira shava from the levim. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm not learning it from that gzeira shava. I'm learning it from the fact that it says koi savor. Same thing by the levim. He's not learning it from. He's not learning. You chachamim are learning from the gzeira shava of koil. I don't hold that gzeira shava. Therefore, instead, I'm learning from the fact that it says ani of amira. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said brachas of klolus cakes, and how did the brachas of klolus take place? Kivin sha'ovri Yisrael, so Yarden chola. We said the Jewish people crossed the Yarden and they went to Har Grizim and Har Evel, and they set up the stones in there. So now the Mishnah makes a point of saying that they came to Har Grizim and Har Evel that are in Shomron near Shechem by Eloine Moira. In other words, like we talked about yesterday, you have the city of Shechem. Nowadays it goes by the Arab name Nablus. So you have two mountains on the two sides of it, Har Grizim on one side, Har Evel on the other. So now, so they had to go to that area, which is in the territory of Shomron. When the Mishnah uses the word Shomron, it's an anachronism, actually. It means that in the time of the Mishnah, that place, that area was known as Shomron. The city of Shomron itself was the capital of the Aseret HaShevatim. It was built much later. It was built by one of the kings of Israel called Omri. This is, we're talking 500-600 years after the Brachas HaKlolos was set over there. 500 years later. But afterwards, that became the capital of the Aseret HaShevatim, and the whole area was named after it. Even nowadays, when they talk about the territories, you talk about Yehuda and Shomron. So that became the general name for that area, including the city of Shechem. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah means when it's saying the area of Shomron. In other words, if you talk to a Yid when they were crossing the Yarden, when they were coming into Eretz Yisrael, and saying this is an area of Shomron, you have no idea what you're talking about. Shomron didn't exist yet. But later on, it became part of what we know in later times as Shomron. Anyway, the point is, we're saying these are the actual two mountains that flank the city of Shechem. So now the Gemara is going to discuss that point. Turn it up on. We learn in a Braisa. Now we have to look at a pasuk in Parashas Re'eh. At the beginning of Parashas Re'eh, Hashem tells Moshe to tell the Jewish people about that they're going to do the brachas of klolos, and later on in Parashas Kisavai, Hashem gives all the details of how the ceremony is supposed to be done. So you have a pasuk that goes like this. Haloi Hema Be'Ever Yarden, are they not, meaning they most certainly are, on the other side, let's quote the whole pasuk first, then we're going to explain it phrase by phrase in the Gemara. Haloi Hema Be'Ever Yarden, are they not on the other side of the Yarden, which fine, you know, they're standing on the east side of the Yarden, when Moshe is saying this, then, so it means it's going to be across the Yarden. Achre, further, Derech Mevoi HaShemesh, the way of the sun's going, Be'eretz HaKnani, in the land of the Knani, Hayoshev Ba'arava, who live in the Arava, which is the valley of the Yarden, Mula Gilgal, opposite Gilgal, Eitzel Eloinei Moira, near Eloinei Moira. That's how the pasuk goes. So now we're going to explain, phrase by phrase, what this is telling us about where, how Grizim and how Evel are located. So turn around, Bonan. Haloi Hema Be'eretz HaYarden, when it says, aren't they on the other side of the Yarden? That means Rabbi Yehuda says that means it's not directly across the Yarden, it's much further. You cross the Yarden, and then you're going to be going a considerable distance until you reach Har Grizim and Har Evel. And in fact, if you look on a map, you'll see that Shechem is well inland. It's not near the Yarden. So they'd have to be traveling quite a distance until they reach Shechem. But Rabbi Yehuda says that's what the pasuk means. Be'ever Yarden, you shouldn't think it means immediately across the Yarden, you're going to find Har Grizim and Har Evel. No, it means you have to go a much further distance through the other side of the Yarden, through Eretz Yisrael proper, until you reach Shechem. So Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. When he continues, when it says Achrei Derech Mevoi HaShemesh, when it continues after the way of the sun's going, so he understands Mevoi HaShemesh means Mokem Shechamas Deirachas, means in the direction where the sun rises. So in other words, so Achrei means further away. The word we often find that the word Achrei means Muflag, means far away, as opposed to Achar often means close. So therefore, Achrei, Derech Mevoi HaShemesh, means you're going to have to go a much further distance than the direction than the sun rises. In other words, the Yarden is on the east side of Eretz Yisrael proper. You're going to be crossing the Yarden. You're going to be traveling much further inland from the east side of Eretz Yisrael. You're going to reach Shechem, which is much further inland. So he says, you know, Mavoya Shemesh means the sun is rising. And in fact, you have in different places, usually Mavoya Shemesh, like Ba Shemesh or whatever, usually means that it sets. But sometimes it can mean that's coming as in it's rising. You have, for example, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Kumi Ori Ki Va Orech. So that can mean different Mephoshim, understand it differently. Doesn't mean Kumi Ori, come shine, Ki Va Orech, your light is coming, Mashiach is coming, Hashem is taking you out of Golos. Or does it mean just the opposite? Kumi Ori, come shine, because until now, Ki Va Orech, till now your sun had, your light had set, and now it's rising again. So in other words, the word Ba can mean either. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying it means the rising of the sun. So he continues, Be'eretz Knani Ayosheva Arava, when it continues in the land of the Knani who live in the Arava. So you should know, Evel Har Grizim, but Har Evel should Yeshuvim Kusim. You should know that this refers to Har Grizim and Har Evel, where currently, when Rabbi Yehuda is saying this well over 1,000 years after Matan Torah, the Kusim live there. We know that you have their Shasancheir, took the Aseres HaShavatim into Golos, repopulated the whole area of Shomron with various Goyim that he had brought from different parts of his empire, including from a city called Kusa, and therefore they became called Kusim. Even now, you have a tiny little remnant of their community lives there on Har Grizim. It's interesting. Actually, you drive through there. You can find on the storefronts and on signs and whatever, you find things written in their ancient alphabet. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin they took over the alphabet that the Jewish people in general used during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, which is called Ksav Ivri, and they modified it a little bit and they continue to use it Ada Yemazeh, whereas we use Ksav Ashuri. You travel in those areas, you'll actually find they have lots of signs and things that are written in their writing system.
It's a small city.
Right? It's a small area in Har Grizim near Shem. Anyway, so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says you should know that Har Grizim and Har Evel we're talking about are the ones where the Kusim live in our times. Next, the pasuk continues. So that's what it means. Be'eretz Kanani Ayoshebar Rava Mul HaGilgal means Samoch LeGilgal. Means that it's near Gilgal. So he's saying, in other words, Gilgal is also far away from the crossing of the Yarden. So this place where you're going to is relatively near Gilgal. And the pasuk continues, Eitzel Eloinei Murder, that this is all next to Eloinei Murder, and you should know that Eloinei Murder is Shem. And we know that because Lahalan Hu Omer, because like we learned in the Mishnah, it says in Parshas Lech Lecha, by Yavar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekoyim Shechem Ad Eilin Mora, Avram was traversing throughout Israel until he reached the area of Shechem, until he reached Eilin Mora. So Ma Eilin Mora, Homer Lahalan Shechem, so just like over there, it means Shechem, Afkan Shechem, the same way over here, Eilinei Mora means Shechem, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is saying, like we said in the Mishnah, that's what it means. They actually went to the area of Shechem, and they did the ceremony of the brachas of flawless over there. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda learns. However, so now the Gemara continues, Tanya. Now we learn in a Braisa. Rashi says, take out the word Tanya. It's not really a separate Braisa. It's all the continuation of the previous Braisa. Agos Habach also takes it out for the same reason. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, the Dover says the Yafti Sifrei Kusim. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi points out, in this matter, I showed that the books of the Kusim are forged. Now, the Kusim, we said, that when they were brought to Eretz Yisrael, so the Psukim and Malachim described that originally they were being attacked by lions, and they sent an urgent message to Sancheirev. Apparently, the god of this country doesn't like us worshipping our idols in his country. In those times, there was the Goyish notion was that every country has its own god. So when you're in this country, you worship its gods, and then you're in that country, etc. So they figured Hashem is the god of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore he doesn't want us worshipping our gods over here. They didn't have the understanding that Hashem ruled the whole world. So the Psukim describe over there, Sancheirov sent a Koyan over there to teach them the basics of Yiddishkeit. But the Psukim describe, they continued to worship their Avodah Zarah, but they were doing it b'shutfus with Hashem. They were doing it in partnership with Hashem. You have machloikas all over Shas. Did they ever give up Avodah Zarah? Did they ever become sincere gerim? Eventually, in the times of Reb Meir, a few hundred years later, they discovered that they're worshiping an image of a dove, and then they declared them goyim gmurim. Up to that point, you have throughout Shas, you have a machloikas, whether they're considered gerim or not. Anyway, the point is that along with that, they also, so this Kohen taught them the basics of Yiddishkeit. He also taught them the Chamisha Chumshei Torah.
So he did it because the king told them to do it?
Because the king told them to do it, because they were saying they want to become Gerim. So he taught them the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Of course, they have their version of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but it's written, there are many differences. It's broadly the same as ours, but there are many differences. It's also written in that different alphabet that I was mentioning, but there's a lot of differences between theirs and ours. It's interesting, they only have Sefer, they only have the five Chumashim, and they have a book that they call Sefer Yoshua, although theirs is completely different. They have no other books of our Tanakh. That's an interesting point. Rabbi Avigdor Miller makes an interesting point in a couple of his Sfarim. Why is that so? Is because this Kohen came and taught them was from the Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim themselves, all they were interested in was those Sfarim. Because you have to think of it, the next Sfarim of Tanakh were written by Shmuel HaNavi. They weren't interested in Sfarim from Shmuel HaNavi. He appointed David as king. They rebelled against David. So therefore, they rejected all of Shmuel's Sfarim and any of the Sfarim after that. Of course, they didn't have Tillim because it was written by David. They didn't have Mishlei and Kehelas and so forth because they were written by Shlomo. So therefore, the only one they had were the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Sefer Yoshua. By the time they seceded and formed their own kingdom, those Sfarim were 400 or 500 years old. They weren't going to reject those. And they had, especially Yoshua, they have nothing against Yoshua from Sefer Ephraim. So therefore, so that ended up getting transmitted to the Kosim and Adai Yemazeh, this is what they had. Anyway, the point is, that the Kusim, again, their Sifrei Torah, if you want to call them that, have a number of differences between ours and theirs. So now Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi is pointing out, I demonstrated to them at one point that there's something in their Sfarim that's forged, that was added incorrectly. So Amarti Lahem, so Rabbi Eliezer says, I said to them, Ziyaftem Toraschem, you forged your Torah, you've added something in your Torah that doesn't really belong there, V'loi ha'elisim v'yedchem klum, but what you did didn't really accomplish anything, it was worthless to do that. Sha'atem Omrim Eloine Moreshchem. Now you're saying in your Torahs, you have, when it says over here, Eitzel Eloine Moreh, you inserted the word Shechem. If you look, actually, if you were to go look, you can find online nowadays, you have the text of the Samaritan Torah, and you'll find over there that actually in that pasuk they have, when it says Eitzel Eloine Moreh, they have the word added Shechem. So they inserted it into the words of the Torah. So Rabbi Lazar tells them, sure, we also agree that Elohim Murder is Shem. Onu Laman Nur B'Gzeira Shava. But we learned it by Gzeira Shava from Avraham Avinu. Atem Mamelamadtum. How did you learn it? You don't believe in Torah Shavah Peh. So where would you ever have gotten the idea that it means Shem? So it's something that you added and you don't even have a valid basis for it. And you have, by the way, there are other places in their Torah where they also did this kind of thing. The Aseres HaDibros, actually, they have an extra Dibra added to build a Mikdash on Har Gerizim. So they have the, you know, there was a big thing by them that they have to have, that Har Gerizim is their center of worship, as opposed to the Beis HaMikdash, which again, they got that from the Aseres HaShvatim, who had rejected the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, like, they made a big deal of inserting in various places in their Torah. And there's other places also where Rabbi Elazar and other Chachamim point out to them that these are forgeries, and you should realize that your ancestors who put those into the Torah didn't know what they were talking about.
They didn't believe in Beis
HaMikdash. Yeah, that's the whole point, is they have the Eglaz of and Beis Helen and Dun.
Of course.
No, that was, Yerovam started it, but eventually they came to like them, and even when Hesheb and Ela took away the guards, they didn't start going, most of them didn't start going to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So all of that is one way of understanding where Har Gerizim and Har Ebal are. They're located in what's now the land of the Kusim. This is, in fact, the Kusim themselves have in their Torahs that it's Shem, but the fact is we don't learn it from them, we learn it from Gzeira Shavah. Now, on the other hand, continues the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says that no, when it says Haloi Hema Be'Eva HaYaudin, the Pasuk is saying that they're on the other side of the Yaudin, that means Samoch LaYaudin, that means it has to be close to the Yaudin. De'Imei Eva HaYaudin Be'Elach, because how could it be much further than the crossing of the Yaudin? Haloi Ksiv V'Hoya Ba'Avrachem Asa Yaudin. The Pasuk says when you cross the Yaudin, implying as soon as you cross the Yaudin, you have to do the Barachas of Flawless on the same day. So what do you mean? How would they be able to go all the way to Shechem all on one day and be able to do that?
When they get there.
The Pasuk is saying, as soon as you cross the Yarden, implying that on the very same day you cross the Yarden, you have to do that. But Shem is very far away from the Yarden. How are they going to reach there in one day? Rabbi Elazar continues, when it says Achrei Derech Mevoya Shemesh, when it says beyond the way of the Mevoya Shemesh, so he understands Mevoya Shemesh means the setting of the sun. Mokam Shachama Shekas, it means that it's the area where the sun sets. In other words, not like Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it means that they have to, that it means that Achrei Derech Mevoya Shemesh means far from where the sun rises, meaning that they have to travel much further west to Shem. Just the opposite, it says. It means that you have to go to the area Just the opposite. It means, no, so it's just the opposite. You have to go to an area where you find mountains that are far from where the sun sets. So forget, not the ones by Shechem, but rather the ones closer to the Yarden. The sun sets further. When you're standing by the Yarden, the sun sets towards the west over Shechem. You need to be far away from that, closer to the Yarden. And he continues, the Eretz Kanani, when it says in the land of the Kanani, really Eretz HaChivi. That land, the land of Shechem is the area of the Chivi. Now, fine, okay, that's not such a big question because, it's not such a big question because we see, for example, that Shechem, the prince of the city of Shechem, who ate dinner, was the Pasuk calls Machivi. So we see that that area is the land of the Chivi. And here the Pasuk is calling it Eretz Kanani. So, okay, Maharsha says Rebbe Elazar doesn't mean that to be such a big question because, fine, Kanani is a generic term for all the seven nations. But still, and he continues, Hayoshev ba'arava, but you have to ask, when you say that they dwell in the Arava, what do you mean? The Arava is the valley of the Yarden. What do you mean? Ben Horem Agbar, saying Yoshevim. What do you mean? Shechem is nowhere near the Arava. It's between the mountains and the hills. So how is it called Arava? Arava literally means the plain, the flatlands, but Shechem is not in the flatlands. And what do you mean, Mul ha-Gilgal? What do you mean, opposite, meaning near Gilgal? Vale Leroes ha-Gilgal. You can't see Gilgal from Shechem. Gilgal, where they first camped, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, is right near the Yarden. It's very far away from Shechem. So therefore, Sir Rebbe Elazar is saying, in other words, in short, we can't understand the Pesukim, the way of Yehuda is saying, because then the geography that the Pesuk is saying doesn't really fit at all. So in fact, so he doesn't explain what his opinion is. Rashi explains Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yaakov is going to go on now in the Gemara to give a different explanation of the pasuk, but therefore, so Rebbe Elazar doesn't have to give his own explanation. He's going to rely on what Rebbe Elazar and what Rebbe Yehuda and Yaakov is going to explain. Tosfos actually brings from the Yerushalmi that Rebbe Elazar does in fact disagree. He says that we're not talking about the well-known Har Gerizim and Har Eval that flank the city of Shechem. Rather, Rebbe Elazar would say what Hashem told them to do is set up two big piles of dirt when they cross the Yarden, go make one pile and call it Har Gerizim, make another pile and call it Har Eval, and then do the Brachas HaKodesh right there by the banks of the Yarden. So according to that, then, yeah, it's not that they're traveling all the distance to Shechem, but rather that, they're building something right there. Tosfos also brings an interesting thing from the Yerushalmi that says that, in fact, it wasn't right as soon as they crossed the Yarden. It was actually only after the 7 years of conquering Eretz Yisrael, the 7 years of dividing it, only then did they do that. And Yerushalmi explained the setting up the stones they did right away, because they took the stones from the Yarden and the Pesukim from Yeshua, make it clear they set it up right away, but the Brachas of Klawless were only many years later. Once they settled Eretz Yisrael and once all the other mitzvahs, after as far as come into effect. Yeah, you want to say something?
No, I was asking you that this questions weren't, they weren't asked the question of these questions, right?
The Kursim weren't bothering with that. These are questions the Chachamim are discussing among themselves. The Kursim had clearly in their Torahs where they write the word Shechem. And Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yossi points out to them that they don't really have a good basis for saying that. Now, the Chachamim are arguing, does it in fact mean Shechem or not? Rebbe Yehuda is saying yes based on the Gzeira Shava from Elon and Moda. On the other hand, Rebbe Elazar is pointing out that the landmarks that are mentioned in Pesukim don't seem to fit with Shechem. So now the Gemara continues. Rebbe Yaakov Omer, Loid Bar Kosev El Laharis Lan Derech B'Shnia to Derech Sheher Lan B'Rishayna. The Pesuk, when it's saying over here, so Rebbe Elazar and Yaakov is agreeing with Rebbe Elazar that Har Gerizim and Har Eval are nowhere near Shechem. They're much closer to the Yarden. Maybe not necessarily would he say like what the Yerushalmi says, that they set up two mountains there of their own, but maybe it would mean, in other words, there are some mountains closer to the Yarden, natural mountains that are called Har Gerizim and Har Eval also when they did them. And Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says, Loi bo ha-kosev ela laharis lahen b'shnia, the Pesuk is only coming to tell you simonim, landmarks, laharis lahen derech b'shnia, to show them the proper way to go now the second time, meaning after they cross the Yarden, k'derech sheher similar to the way Hashem showed them at first. Meaning at first means when they left Mitzrayim, so Hashem gave them a pillar of cloud to show them the right way to go. Now, after Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, after they cross the Yarden, they're not going to have that anymore. So therefore, Hashem is giving them landmarks to know which way they should go. So in other words, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, the Pesukim are not telling you how to go to Har Gerizim and Har Eval for the ceremony, but rather what's the best way to enter Eretz Yisrael in the first place. So he says, when he says derech means by derech lechu, go on the straight roads, the loy v'sodas ekramim, don't go through the, don't take shortcuts through fields and vineyards. When it says Hayoshev, that they dwell, means the Yishuv Luchu, go through the settled areas, Veloiva Midbaris, don't go through the desert areas. Ba'arava, and when it says Ba'arava, in the valley, Ba'arava Luchu, Veloiva Horim Ugvois, go through the valley, don't go through the mountains and hills. So in other words, Rabbi Lazar, so Rashi explains, again, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov agrees with Rabbi Lazar that how Grizim and Har Evel are not located near Shem, they're located closer to the Yarden, but the Torah is basically giving the Jewish people practical advice when you're entering Eretz Yisrael, and you're not going to have the cloud, you're not going to have the Amud HaAnan to show you which way to go, then here are some basic guidelines that you should use for how you should go.
No, Amud HaAnan
actually stopped as soon as Moshe passed away. What it actually said, the Gemara elsewhere says actually that it was originally in the source of Aaron, and then it disappeared after Aaron passed away, and then it came back in the source of Moshe. So, but now, Zayin Adar, when Moshe passed away, then that disappeared. So now, Hashem is telling them that you're not going to have the Amud HaAnan, therefore I need to tell you some basic guidelines that you should know when you're entering Eretz Yisrael. There is some discussion about that. There are some Acharonim who learn the Gemara differently and say that Rabbi Lazar is asking more questions on Rabbi Huda and more clearly saying, like what it says in the Yerushalmi, that the whole thing was near the Yarden and not the actual Har Grizim and Har Evel, but rather mounds of dirt that they set up for the purpose. There's also an interesting possibility that maybe Hashem is telling them, is in fact telling them to go to Shechem for this purpose, but in other words, Hashem is telling them what's the best road to get to go to Shechem rather than when he crossed the Yarden opposite Yericho. You'd have to end up going through mountains and whatever to get to Shem. So Hashem is telling them kind of like, here, GPS kind of, yeah, here's the God positioning system, yeah. So here's the right road to go by which you'll get to Shem. So according to that, then it would come out that Rabbi Lazman Yaakov agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that it wasn't Shem. He's just saying that the words Achrei Derech Mavoi Hashem have a different, and Beretz Knani Yishev Arava have a bit of a different meaning. Marsha points out, by the way, that Rashi in Chumash takes yet another view of it. Rashi explains the word Achrei and Derech are separated by Tura. Achrei has a Pashta, Derech has a Yisiv, both of which are separating Tura. So therefore, we understand that Achrei, you have to go very far away from the Yarden, Derech Mavoi HaShemesh, in the direction that the sun sets. Marsha points out that doesn't really fit either of the opinions that was saying in the Gemara over here. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar seem to understand Achrei Derech Mavoi HaShemesh as being one sense beyond the way of the Mavoi HaShemesh. So in other words, either Mavoi HaShemesh means the sunrise or it means the sunset, as the case may be, whereas Rashi on the Pasuk is saying that no, it means Achrei, you have to go very far beyond the Yarden, and where are you going? Derech Mavoi HaShemesh, towards the direction where the sun sets, namely Shem. So it's another way, a more Ben Chomish L'Mikra type way of explaining the passage, basically. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with the details of how the Jewish people crossed the Yarden and how they set up these stones in Gilgal and how Grizim and how Evel and how they did the whole thing. Okay.